Chapter 17, Text 24. Antasmado mityudaritya yagyadana tapakriya pravartante vidhanokta satatam brahmavadinam. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance, in accordance with scriptural regulations, begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Om Tadn Vishnu Paramam Padam, Rigveda 1:22-20. The lotus feet of Vishnu are the supreme devotional platform. The performances of everything on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead assures the perfection of all activity. Text 25. Tadityanabhisandhaya palam yagyatapakriya dana kriyascha vividha kriyante mokshakangshibhi. Without desiring fruitive results, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. Purport. To be elevated to the spiritual position, one should not act for any material gain. Acts should be performed for the ultimate gain of being transferred to the spiritual kingdom, back to home, back to Godhead. Texts 26 and 27. Sadhubhave sadhubhave cha sadhyate karma nitata satchamda patayunjate yagye tapasidane cha sthiti sadhiti chochyate karma chaiva tadarthiyam sadhitye vabidhiyate. The absolute truth is the objective of devotional sacrifice, and it is indicated by the word sat. The performer of such sacrifice is also called sat, as are all works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which, true to the absolute nature, are performed to please the Supreme Person, O Son of Prita. Purport. The word prashaste karmani, or prescribed duties, indicate that there are many activities prescribed in the Vedic literature which are purificatory processes, beginning from the time of conception up to the end of one's life. Such purificatory processes are adopted for the ultimate liberation of the living entity. In all such activities, it is recommended that one vibrate Om Tat Sat. The words Sadhanbhave and Sadhubhave indicate the transcendental situation. Acting in Krishna consciousness is called sattva, and one who is fully conscious of the activities of Krishna consciousness is called a sadhu. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25, it is said that the transcendental subject matter becomes clear in the association of the devotees. The words used are satam prasangat. Without good association, one cannot achieve transcendental knowledge. When initiating a person or offering the sacred thread, one vibrates the words Om Tat Sat. Similarly, in all kinds of performance of yajna, the object is the Supreme, Om Tat Sat. The word Tadarthiyam further means offering sacrifice to anything which represents the Supreme, including such service as cooking and helping in the Lord's temple, or any other kind of work for broadcasting the glories of the Lord. These supreme words, Om Tat Sat, are thus used in many ways to perfect all activities and make everything complete. Text 28. Ashadhyaya hutam dattam tapastaptam kutam chayat asadityuchyate pata nachatat pretyano iha. Anything done as sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O Son of Prita, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. Purport. Anything done without the transcendental objective, whether it be sacrifice, charity, or penance, is useless. Therefore, in this verse, it is declared that such activities are abominable. Everything should be done for the Supreme in Krishna consciousness. Without such faith and without the proper guidance, there can never be any fruit. In all the Vedic scriptures, faith in the Supreme is advised. In the pursuit of all Vedic instructions, the ultimate goal is the understanding of Krishna. No one can obtain success without following this principle. Therefore, the best course is to work from the very beginning in Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. That is the way to make everything successful. In the conditional state, people are attracted to worshipping demigods, ghosts, or yakshas like Kubera. The mode of goodness is better than the modes of passion and ignorance, but one who takes directly to Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all three modes of material nature. Although there is a process of gradual elevation, if one, by the association of pure devotees, takes directly to Krishna consciousness, that is the best way, and that is recommended in this chapter. To achieve success in this way, one must first find the proper spiritual master and receive training under his direction. Then one can achieve faith in the Supreme. When that faith matures, in course of time, it is called love of God. This love is the ultimate goal of the living entities. One should therefore take to Krishna consciousness directly. That is the message of this 17th chapter. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 17th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the divisions of faith. Chapter 18, Conclusion, The Perfection of Renunciation. Text 1. Arjuna Uvacha Sanyasyasya Mahabaho Tattvam Ichchami Veditum Tyagasya Cha Rishikesha Pritakeshi Nishudana. Arjuna said, Almighty Armed One, I wish to understand the purpose of renunciation, Tyaga, and of the renounced order of life, Sannyas, O killer of the Keshi demon, master of the senses. Purport. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. The 18th chapter is a supplementary summarization of the topics discussed before. In every chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna stresses that devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. This same point is summarized in the 18th chapter as the most confidential path of knowledge. In the first six chapters, stress was given to devotional service. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all yogis or transcendentalists, one who always thinks of me within himself is best. In the next six chapters, pure devotional service and its nature and activity were discussed. In the third six chapters, knowledge, renunciation, the activities of material nature and transcendental nature, and devotional service were described. It was concluded that all acts should be performed in conjunction with the Supreme Lord, represented by the words Om Tat Sat, which indicate Vishnu, the Supreme Person. The third part of Bhagavad Gita has shown that devotional service and nothing else is the ultimate purpose of life. This has been established by citing past acharyas and the Brahma Sutra, the Vedanta Sutra. Certain impersonalists consider themselves to have a monopoly on the knowledge of Vedanta Sutra. But actually, the Vedanta Sutra is meant for understanding devotional service, for the Lord Himself is the composer of the Vedanta Sutra, and He is its knower. That is described in the 15th chapter. In every scripture, every Veda, devotional service is the objective. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita. As in the second chapter, a synopsis of the whole subject matter was described, in the 18th chapter also, the summary of all instruction is given. The purpose of life is indicated to be renunciation and attainment of the transcendental position above the three material modes of nature. Arjuna wants to clarify the two distinct subject matters of Bhagavad Gita, namely renunciation, tyaga, and the renounced order of life, sannyas. Thus, he is asking the meaning of these two words. Two words used in this verse to address the Supreme Lord, Rishikesh and Keshi Nishudana, are significant. Rishikesh is Krishna, the master of all senses, who can always help us attain mental serenity. Arjuna requests him to summarize everything in such a way that he can remain equipoised. Yet he has some doubts, and doubts are always compared to demons. He therefore addresses Krishna as Keshi Nishudana. Keshi was a most formidable demon who was killed by the Lord. Now Arjuna is expecting Krishna to kill the demon of doubt. Text 2. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidhu Sarva Karma Palatyagam Prahustyagam Vichakshana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "The giving up of activities that are based on material desire is what great learned men call the renounced order of life, sannyas. And giving up the results of all activities is what the wise call renunciation, tyaga." Purport. The performance of activities for results has to be given up. This is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita. But activities leading to advanced spiritual knowledge are not to be given up. This will be made clear in the next verses. In the Vedic literature, there are many prescriptions of methods for performing sacrifice for some particular purpose. There are certain sacrifices to perform to attain a good son or to attain elevation to the higher planets. But sacrifices prompted by desires should be stopped. However, sacrifice for the purification of one's heart or for advancement in the spiritual science should not be given up. Text 3. Tyajang dosha vadityekehi karma prahu manishinah yagyadana tapakarma natyajam iti chapare. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance should never be abandoned. Purport. There are many activities in the Vedic literature which are subjects of contention. For instance, it is said that an animal can be killed in a sacrifice, yet some maintain that animal killing is completely abominable. Although animal killing in a sacrifice is recommended in the Vedic literature, the animal is not considered to be killed. The sacrifice is to give a new life to the animal. Sometimes the animal is given a new animal life after being killed in the sacrifice, and sometimes the animal is promoted immediately to the human form of life. But there are different opinions among the sages. Some say that animal killing should always be avoided, and others say that for a specific sacrifice it is good. All these different opinions on sacrificial activity are now being clarified by the Lord Himself. Text 4. Nishchayam shunume tatra dhyage bharata sattama dhyago hi purusham vyagra drivadha sampakirtita. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. Purport. Although there are differences of opinion about renunciation, here the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, gives his judgment, which should be taken as final. After all, the Vedas are different laws given by the Lord. Here the Lord is personally present, and his word should be taken as final. The Lord says that the process of renunciation should be considered in terms of the modes of material nature in which it is performed. Text 5. Yagyadana tapakarma natyajam kayameva tat yagyodhanam tapaschaiva bhavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity, and penance purify even the great souls. Purport. The yogis should perform acts for the advancement of human society. There are many purificatory processes for advancing a human being to spiritual life. The marriage ceremony, for example, is considered to be one of these sacrifices. It is called Vivaha Yajna. Should a sannyasi, who is in the renounced order of life and who has given up his family relations, encourage the marriage ceremony? The Lord says here that any sacrifice which is meant for human welfare should never be given up. Vivaha Yajna, the marriage ceremony, is meant to regulate the human mind so that it may become peaceful for spiritual advancement. For most men, this Vivaha Yajna should be encouraged even by persons in the renounced order of life. Sannyasis should never associate with women. But that does not mean that one who is in the lower stages of life, a young man, should not accept a wife in the marriage ceremony. All prescribed sacrifices are meant for achieving the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the lower stages, they should not be given up. Similarly, charity is for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, as described previously, it leads one to advanced spiritual life. Text 6. Etanyapita karmani sangam chakdva palani cha kartavyani time parta nishchitam matamuttamam. All these activities should be performed without attachment or any expectation of result. They should be performed as a matter of duty, O son of Prita. That is my final opinion. Purport. Although all sacrifices are purifying, one should not expect any result by such performances. In other words, all sacrifices which are meant for material advancement in life should be given up. But sacrifices that purify one's existence and elevate one to the spiritual plane should not be stopped. Everything that leads to Krishna consciousness must be encouraged. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is said that any activity which leads to devotional service to the Lord should be accepted. That is the highest criterion of religion. A devotee of the Lord should accept any kind of work, sacrifice, or charity which will help him in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord. Text 7. Niyatasya tu sannyasah karmano no papadnyate mohatasya parityagas dhamasak parikirtita. Prescribed duties should never be renounced. If one gives up his prescribed duties because of illusion, such renunciation is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Work for material satisfaction must be given up, but activities which promote one to spiritual activity, like cooking for the Supreme Lord and offering the food to the Lord and then accepting the food, are recommended. It is said that a person in the renounced order of life should not cook for himself. Cooking for oneself is prohibited, but cooking for the Supreme Lord is not prohibited. Similarly, a sannyasi may perform a marriage ceremony to help his disciple in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. If one renounces such activities, it is to be understood that he is acting in the mode of darkness. Text 8. Dukkamityeva yat karma kaya klesha bhayat yajit sakrit varajasam tyagam naiva tyaga palang labet. Anyone who gives up prescribed duties as troublesome or out of fear of bodily discomfort is said to have renounced in the mode of passion. Such action never leads to the elevation of renunciation. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness should not give up earning money out of fear that he is performing fruitive activities. If by working one can engage his money in Krishna consciousness, or if by rising early in the morning one can advance his transcendental Krishna consciousness, one should not desist out of fear or because such activities are considered troublesome. Such renunciation is in the mode of passion. The result of passionate work is always miserable. If a person renounces work in that spirit, he never gets the result of renunciation. Text 9. Kāyamityeva yat karma niyatam kriyate arjuna saṅgam cakvā palam caiva satyāga sattviko mata. O Arjuna, when one performs his prescribed duty only because it ought to be done, and renounces all material association and all attachment to the fruit, his renunciation is said to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. Prescribed duties must be performed with this mentality. One should act without attachment for the result. He should be disassociated from the modes of work. A man working in Krishna consciousness in a factory does not associate himself with the work of the factory, nor with the workers of the factory. He simply works for Krishna. And when he gives up the result for Krishna, He is acting transcendentally. Text 10. Nandvesh akushalam karma kushale nanushanjati dhyagi sattva samavishto medhavi chinna sanshaya. The intelligent renouncer is situated in the mode of goodness, neither hateful of inauspicious work nor attached to auspicious work, has no doubts about work. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness or in the mode of goodness does not hate anyone or anything which troubles his body. He does work in the proper place and at the proper time without fearing the troublesome effects of his duty. Such a person situated in transcendence should be understood to be most intelligent and beyond all doubts in his activities. Text 11. Nahi deham pratashakyam chaktum karmanyasheshata yastu karma palatyagi satyagi chabdhiyate. It is indeed impossible for an embodied being to give up all activities, but he who renounces the fruits of action is called one who has truly renounced. Purport. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that one can never give up work at any time. Therefore, he who works for Krishna and does not enjoy the fruit of results, who offers everything to Krishna, is actually a renouncer. There are many members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who work very hard in their office or in the factory or some other place, and whatever they earn, they give to the society. Such highly elevated souls are actually sannyasis and are situated in the renounced order of life. It is clearly outlined here how to renounce the fruits of work and for what purpose fruits should be renounced. Text 12. Anishtamishtamishram cha jivadham karmanakpalam bhavatya tyaginam precha natu sannyasinam kuchit. For one who is not renounced, the threefold fruits of action, desirable, undesirable, and mixed, accrue after death. But those who are in the renounced order of life have no such result to suffer or enjoy. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness, acting in knowledge of his relationship with Krishna, is always liberated. Therefore, he does not have to enjoy or suffer the results of his acts after death. Text 13. Panchaitani mahabaho karanani nibodhame sanke kratante proktani siddhaye sarvakarmanam. O mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. Purport. A question may be raised that since any activity performed must have some reaction, how is it that the person in Krishna consciousness does not suffer or enjoy the reactions of work? The Lord is citing Vedanta philosophy to show how this is possible. He says that there are five causes for all activities, and for success in all activity, one should consider these five causes. Sankhya means the stalk of knowledge, and Vedanta is the final stalk of knowledge accepted by all leading acharyas. Even Shankara accepts Vedanta Sutra as such. Therefore, such authority should be consulted. The ultimate control is invested in the Supersoul. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Vidisannivishtak, the Supersoul is engaging everyone in certain activities by reminding him of his past actions. And Krishna-conscious acts done under his direction from within yield no reaction, either in this life or in the life after death. Text 14. Adishtanam tatakarta kadanam cha pitag vidham vivadhas cha pitag cheshta daivam cha evata panchamam. The place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the Supersoul, these are the five factors of action. Purport. The word adhishtanam refers to the body. The soul within the body is acting to bring about the results of activity and is therefore known as Karta, the doer. That the soul is the knower and the doer is stated in the Shruti. Eshahi drashta srashta, Prashna Upanishad 4.9. It is also confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra by the verses Yota Eva 2.3.18 and Karta Shastratavatvat 2.3.33. The instruments of action are the senses, and by the senses the soul acts in various ways. For each and every action there is a different endeavor, but all one's activities depend on the will of the Supersoul, who is seated within the heart as a friend. The Supreme Lord is the Supercause. Under these circumstances, he who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul situated within the heart is naturally not bound by any activity. Those in complete Krishna consciousness are not ultimately responsible for their actions. Everything is dependent on the Supreme Will, the Supersoul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 15. Sharira vanna nobi yahat karma prarabhate nara nyayam vap paditam va panchayate tasya hetava. Whatever right or wrong action a man performs by body, mind, or speech is caused by these five factors. Purport. The words right and wrong are very significant in this verse. Right work is work done in terms of the prescribed directions in the scriptures, and wrong work is work done against the principles of the scriptural injunctions. But whatever is done requires these five factors for its complete performance. Text 16. Tatraivam satikartaram atmanam kevalam tuya pasyat akatabuddhitvan nasapasyati durmati. Therefore, one who thinks himself the only doer, not considering the five factors, is certainly not very intelligent and cannot see things as they are. Purport. A foolish person cannot understand that the Supersoul is sitting as a friend within and conducting his actions. Although the material causes are the place, the worker, the endeavor, and the senses, the final cause is the Supreme, the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should see not only the four material causes, but the Supreme efficient cause as well. One who does not see the Supreme thinks himself to be the doer. Text 17. Yasya nahaṁ krito bhāvoh buddhi yasya nalipyate hotvāpi sahimā lokān nahanti nanabadhyate. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Purport. In this verse, the Lord informs Arjuna that the desire not to fight arises from false ego. Arjuna thought himself to be the doer of action, but he did not consider the supreme sanction within and without. If one does not know that a super sanction is there, why should he act? But one who knows the instruments of work, himself as the worker, and the Supreme Lord as the supreme sanctioner, is perfect in doing everything. Such a person is never in illusion. Personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness, or a lack of Krishna consciousness. Anyone who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Supersoul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though killing, does not kill. Nor is he ever affected by the reaction of such killing. When a soldier kills under the command of a superior officer, he is not subject to be judged. But if a soldier kills on his own personal account, then he is certainly judged by a court of law. Text 18. Gyanam geyum parigyata jivadha karma chodana karmanam karma karteti jivadha karma sangraha. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the worker, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Purport. There are three kinds of impetus for daily work: knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower. The instruments of work, the work itself, and the worker are called the constituents of work. Any work done by any human being has these elements. Before one acts, there is some impetus, which is called inspiration. Any solution arrived at before work is actualized is a subtle form of work. Then work takes the form of action. First, one has to undergo the psychological processes of thinking, feeling, and willing, and that is called impetus. The inspiration to work is the same if it comes from the scripture or from the instruction of the spiritual master. When the inspiration is there and the worker is there, then actual activity takes place by the help of the senses, including the mind, which is the center of all the senses. The sum total of all the constituents of an activity are called the accumulation of work. Text 19. Jnanam karma cakarta cha tridaiva guna bhedata prochate guna sankhyani yatavak chunutanyapi. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action, and performer of action. Now hear of them from me. Purport. In the 14th chapter, the three divisions of the modes of material nature were elaborately described. In that chapter, it was said that the mode of goodness is illuminating, the mode of passion materialistic, and the mode of ignorance conducive to laziness and indolence. All the modes of material nature are binding. They are not sources of liberation. Even in the mode of goodness, one is conditioned. In the 17th chapter, the different types of worship by different types of men in different modes of material nature were described. In this verse, the Lord says that he wishes to speak about the different types of knowledge, workers, and work itself according to the three material modes. Text 20. Sarvabhuteshu yenaikam bhavamam yajamikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tangyanam vidnisaptikam. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. A person who sees one spirit soul in every living being, whether a demigod, human being, animal, bird, beast, aquatic, or plant, possesses knowledge in the mode of goodness. In all living entities, one spirit soul is there, although they have different bodies in terms of their previous work. As described in the 7th chapter, the manifestation of the living force in every body is due to the superior nature of the Supreme Lord. Thus, to see that one superior nature, that living force, in every body, is to see in the mode of goodness. That living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable. Differences are perceived in terms of the body. Because there are many forms of material existence in conditional life, the living force appears to be divided. Such impersonal knowledge is an aspect of self-realization. Text 21. Pritakvena tu yajnanam nana bhavan pritak vidhan veti sarveshu bhuteshu tangyanam vidnhirajasam. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. Purport. The concept that the material body is the living entity, and that with the destruction of the body the consciousness is also destroyed, is called knowledge in the mode of passion. According to that knowledge, bodies differ from one another because of the development of different types of consciousness. Otherwise, there is no separate soul which manifests consciousness. The body is itself the soul, and there is no separate soul beyond the body. According to such knowledge, consciousness is temporary. Or else there are no individual souls, but there is an all-pervading soul which is full of knowledge, and this body is a manifestation of temporary ignorance. Or, beyond this body, there is no special individual or supreme soul. All such conceptions are considered products of the mode of passion. Text 22. Yattu kutsna vade kasmin karye saktam mahaitukam atat vata vadalpam cha tattama samadahritam. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all-in-all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. Purport. The, quote, knowledge of the common man is always in the mode of darkness or ignorance, because every living entity in conditional life is born into the mode of darkness. One who does not develop knowledge through the authorities or scriptural injunctions has knowledge that is limited to the body. He is not concerned about acting in terms of the directions of Scripture. For him, God is money, and knowledge means the satisfaction of bodily demands. Such knowledge has no connection with the absolute truth. It is more or less like the knowledge of the ordinary animals, the knowledge of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Such knowledge is described here as the product of the mode of darkness. In other words, knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge producing many theories and doctrines by dint of mundane logic and mental speculation is the product of the mode of passion. And knowledge concerned only with keeping the body comfortable is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Text 23. Niyatam sangarahitam araga dvesha tokritam apala prepsana karma yattat sattvikam uchyate. That action which is regulated and which is performed without attachment, without love or hatred, and without desire for fruitive results is said to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. Regulated occupational duties, as prescribed in the scriptures in terms of the different orders and divisions of society, performed without attachment or proprietary rights, and therefore without any love or hatred, and performed in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the Supreme, without self-satisfaction or self-gratification, are called actions in the mode of goodness. Text 24. Yattu kamipsuna karma sahankare navapunaho kriyate boholayasam tanrajasamudaritam. But action performed with great effort by one seeking to gratify his desires and enacted from a sense of false ego is called action in the mode of passion. Text 25. Anubandham kshayam hingsam anapeksha cha paurusham mohadarabhyate karma yattat tamasamuchyate. That action performed in illusion, in disregard of scriptural injunctions, and without concern for future bondage or for violence or distress caused to others, is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. One has to give account of one's actions to the state or to the agents of the Supreme Lord called the Yamadutas. Irresponsible work is destructive because it destroys the regulative principles of scriptural injunction. It is often based on violence and is distressing to other living entities. Such irresponsible work is carried out in the light of one's personal experience. This is called illusion. And all such illusory work is a product of the mode of ignorance. Text 26. Mukta sango nahang vadi dvitrit sahasamanvita siddhya siddhyo nirvikara karta sattika uchyate. One who performs his duty without association with the modes of material nature, without false ego, with great determination and enthusiasm, and without wavering in success or failure, is said to be a worker in the mode of goodness. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness is always transcendental to the material modes of nature. He has no expectations for the result of the work entrusted to him, because he is above false ego and pride. Still, he is always enthusiastic till the completion of such work. He does not worry about the distress undertaken. He is always enthusiastic. He does not care for success or failure. He is equal in both distress and happiness. Such a worker is situated in the mode of goodness. Text 27. Ragi karma palaprepsur lubdo hingsatmako shuchi harsha shokanvita karta rajasak padikirtita. The worker who is attached to work and the fruits of work, desiring to enjoy those fruits, and who is greedy, always envious, impure, and moved by joy and sorrow, is said to be in the mode of passion. Purport. A person is too much attached to a certain kind of work or to the result, because he has too much attachment for materialism or hearth and home, wife and children. Such a person has no desire for higher elevation in life. He is simply concerned with making this world as materially comfortable as possible. He is generally very greedy, and he thinks that anything attained by him is permanent and never to be lost. Such a person is envious of others and prepared to do anything wrong for sense gratification. Therefore, such a person is unclean, and he does not care whether his earning is pure or impure. He is very happy if his work is successful, and very much distressed when his work is not successful. Such is the worker in the mode of passion. Text 28. Ayukta prakrita stabda shato naish kritikolasa vishadin dirga sutri cha karta tamasa uchyate. The worker who is always engaged in work against the injunctions of the scripture, who is materialistic, obstinate, cheating, and expert in insulting others, and who is lazy, always morose, and procrastinating, is said to be a worker in the mode of ignorance. Purport. In the scriptural injunctions we find what sort of work should be performed and what sort of work should not be performed. Those who do not care for those injunctions engage in work not to be done, and such persons are generally materialistic. They work according to the modes of nature, not according to the injunctions of the scripture. Such workers are not very gentle, and generally they are always cunning and expert in insulting others. They are very lazy. Even though they have some duty, they do not do it properly, and they put it aside to be done later on. Therefore they appear to be morose. They procrastinate. Anything which can be done in an hour they drag on for years. Such workers are situated in the mode of ignorance. Text 29. Buddhir bedam jiteshchaiva gunatas trividhang shunu pochyamanam asheshena pritakvena dananjaya. O winner of wealth, now please listen as I tell you in detail of the different kinds of understanding and determination according to the three modes of material nature. Purport. Now, after explaining knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower in three different divisions according to the modes of material nature, the Lord is explaining the intelligence and determination of the worker in the same way. Text 30. Pravrittiṃ ca navrittiṃ ca kāyā kāyē bhayābhayē bandham mokṣaṃ ca yāveti buddhi sā parta sattvikī. O son of Pritha, that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in the mode of goodness. Purport. Performing actions in terms of the directions of the scriptures is called pravritti, or executing actions that deserve to be performed. And actions which are not so directed are not to be performed. One who does not know the scriptural directions becomes entangled in the actions and reactions of work. Understanding, which discriminates by intelligence, is situated in the mode of goodness. Text 31. Yaya dharmam adharmam cha kahyam cha kahyam eva cha ayatavat pajanati buddhi sa parta rajasi. O son of Pritha, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. Text 32. Adharmam dharmam iti yaha manyate tamasavrita sarvatan vipaditangscha buddhi saparta tamasi. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion under the spell of illusion and darkness, and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha, is in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Intelligence in the mode of ignorance is always working in the opposite of the way it should. It accepts religions which are not actually religions, and rejects actual religion. Men in ignorance understand a great soul to be a common man, and accept a common man as a great soul. They think truth to be untruth, and accept untruth as truth. In all activities they simply take the wrong path. Therefore their intelligence is in the mode of ignorance. Text 33. Manak pranindriya kriya yoge navyam vicharinya jiti sapat satviki. O son of Prita, that determination which is unbreakable, which is sustained with steadfastness by yoga practice, and which thus controls the activities of the mind, life, and senses, is determination in the mode of goodness. Purport. Yoga is a means to understand the Supreme Soul. One who is steadily fixed in the Supreme Soul with determination, concentrating one's mind, life, and sensory activities on the Supreme, engages in Krishna consciousness. That sort of determination is in the mode of goodness. The word avyabhicharinya is very significant, for it indicates that persons who are engaged in Krishna consciousness are never deviated by any other activity.